As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Plus minus.
Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry!
Tim Kawakami deserves all the credit then.
Plus minus.
Curry driving again.
Tell Marcus that he asked that question about my defense. You hear that, Marcus?
Anthony, you know me well, buddy. Y'all have a great night.
I think you got the highest plus minus in the season in NBA history.
Hello and welcome to we'll call it a Draymond Green edition of the Warriors plus minus emergency podcast. What, about 5 minutes into free agency, Draymond Green? I believe he was the first name to drop league-wide. 4 years, $100 million, as reported by Arsham Sharania. Fourth year is player option, which is very much a Draymond Green win, right? That'll be even after the Steph Curry's current contract. But on the front side, as I reported, $22.3 million is next year's salary, down from the player option, which was $27.6 million, way down from anybody who thought it was going to be in maybe the $30 million range. And obviously, Tim, we know what that comes with from, tax savings. We're talking $43 million was the number I was given. From the player option decline to what it's going to be. So it's just flexibility, right? This offseason right now, so far from the Mike Dunleavy, Joe Lacob perspective, financial flexibility.
Yeah, I mean, they need to get that year, that salary, that payroll down this year. Different floating numbers, 380, 400, 420. I'd heard 420 a couple of days ago, maybe a little less than that now. But, yeah, they couldn't go 450. And they were verging on that for a little while, any dollar they shaved from this coming year's payroll is huge for them. And then you add Chris Paul, which added some salary, but then he's not guaranteed next year. It's a lot of flexibility. I think I've said this before. The word around there I've heard is optionality. They got options. They can get out of the second apron next summer couple ways, and they think they're just they're possibly better on the basketball court, even while they're making these moves. So we'll see. But it's a bet on Draymond, but it's a bet on themselves. And you and I, and we've talked to Dunleavy, he was not in the mode to tear this thing up. It was to kind of hit it on the margins, knock down some salaries, give themselves some flexibility, but it was not to break up Steph, Clay, and Draymond. That was not it was like completely opposite of that, right? I mean, it wasn't even like they were thinking about it. They were not going to break this up. They just needed to make sure that they weren't going crazily into the next year or two with the financing. They needed a way out, and they've got a way out.
Part of the hiring of Mike Dunleavy was about stability. And if not only if you let Draymond leave for, probably a Western Conference rival, you not only don't have Draymond Green anymore, you no longer have a happy Steph Curry, right?
And
satisfied Klay Thompson. Like, that is, the definition of instability if something like that happens. So, I mean, it's the smart play. I mean, obviously the sacrifice of this entire summer in situation is Jordan Poole's future. And sure, that might come back to bite them, especially if Chris Paul has an injury-riddled season next year and then he's, gone off the minimum. And basically it looks like a salary dump of a guy that, who knows, maybe he's an Eastern Conference All-Star. But they were willing to sacrifice that for what this is. And this, I think, as Marcus Thompson joins us, I think that, or now no longer joins us. We'll see. Man, he's going to be in and out. But, this is about what Steph wants, what this core wants, and a belief that it isn't just, hey, you know, I know there's our Last Dance was thrown out last season. Last Dance is already being thrown out this season. I think this is a sign that this is much more than The Last Dance. This is Draymond Green now 4 more years. The, you know, trading of Jordan Poole makes Klay Thompson's re-signing more likely. Steph Curry's for 3 more years. I think they got 3 more years of this core at least.
They did 4 years, and Steph said 3 yesterday. So they did one more year than Steph thought. You know, I thought it was going to be 3, but I get why it's 4. You were able to, I'm sure that was a trade-off. They got this year's
number lower.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You get this number lower and you give them the back end player option, which they don't really do. I mean, they've only given it to Durant and Draymond and maybe one other player. And this is not Draymond twice. But in 4 years, they're not going to be in the tax. I would very heavily bet that. And if they are, they're going to be a very good team and they'll take that. And the cap's going to be way up. It's going to be at least 40%, right? 40% up, some version of that. So the dollars don't mean as much often, if, you know, that distance, and you get the bang in the next 2 years. You get Steph happy in the next 2 years. You get Draymond, you know, potentially very motivated, potentially feeling good, and then you take your shot at it and you pay for it on the back end. But I think, you know, the dollars are cheaper on the back end, and literally cheaper for them on the back end.
Well, so not that's only why that, like, okay,
what they go for.
Yeah, not only that, let's go worst case scenario here. Like Draymond declines a bunch and like the back end of the deal doesn't look great. You know, the Steph Curry era dies out in the next 2 seasons and they're a complete rebuilding team. Like, okay, fine. You have a $27 million expiring contract and you're a rebuilding team. Like, yep. Maybe you can trade that for, you know, yep, draft picks. You know, maybe you just play it out. I mean, it's something. Just think about how many unusable expiring salaries the Thunder have had over the last few years as they have, you know, tanked and gathered picks and got, you know, gathered everything. It's like they had Kemba Walker, they had Al Horford, like they had Chris Paul, they had all that stuff. And it's like, that's okay because they're trying to win the title the next 2 seasons. And yeah, you know, when Draymond Green's 27 or 37 and making $27 million, it might not be great, but what do they really care, right, at this point?
Yep. And if Steph Curry wants it, they're going to do it. They're absolutely going to do it.
And if Chris Paul taught us anything, is you can always move a deal.
Yes, Marcus Thompson has arrived. Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah, they can always move it. You can. The future is just the future. If you're willing to pay money, right? I mean, the Warriors are willing to pay money, so they can go out and like, okay, we got to overprice Draymond Green in 4 years. That's okay, right? I mean, that's livable at that point. I get it. I was surprised, especially I almost floated out for 100 just because I thought maybe you can make some unguaranteed. You know, Draymond seems to want to get to 100. You know,
100 maybe, is key for him. Just like, yeah, that.
Exactly. Yeah. Get that figure. And so maybe you throw some unguaranteed, non-guaranteed fourth year money into it, turns into it's guaranteed if he wants it. But the Steph thing like changed my mind. Like, Steph said 3, so I'm going to stick with 3. But again, you get it. The future is cheaper for them than the present. It is. It just is. And especially once they get out of the luxury tax. And I think they're going to, you know, they got solid plans to get out of luxury tax either next year or the year after. We can see why. We've got, you know, you've got some huge contracts that are going to come off. And then you deal with it then. And, you know, they don't have the pool contract on them. And you talk about the risk. I've talked about the risk of pool. But was pool going to be like that on this team? Like, that's the calculation, right? I mean, what's the most optimistic thing you could, you know, project for Jordan Poole on this team if Steph and Klay are still on it? And it wasn't going to be worth, you know, $28 million a year. It just wasn't.
It wasn't. I would say this, and this is complete speculation. This is not something I've been told, but
I don't know. With the money going out there now.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
I'd say this. You guys might disagree with me, but I think if they could have traded Chris Paul's contract for Jordan Poole, like if they could just have given Jordan Poole Chris Paul's contract, $30 million next season, then non-guaranteed, I think they'd rather have Jordan Poole the player than Chris Paul the player personally next year. That's what I think. But I think it's about the contracts. That's the question.
Yeah, you can't switch him because you had to give Jordan Poole that contract. I mean, it's all hand in hand. The dollars all matter. But also, listen, there's symbolism in this that's real. Draymond Green punched Jordan Poole last October, and Draymond Green is on this team and extended, and Jordan Poole's off this team. You know, it wasn't one for one. It wasn't exactly one thing causing the other. I would have guessed the other way around, But that did happen. He punched Jordan Poole, and Jordan Poole is not on this team, and Draymond Green signed for four more years. It is one way to look at this.
Marcus, I was just like, is there anything larger that this signals to you, or just like, do you have a bigger picture view of, I mean, Draymond Green basically locking in for the final good years of his career?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that strikes me is just how like epic of a save this was for Draymond. Like,
oh, yeah.
I mean, the fact that we're here after where we were, I mean, this is, I mean, he obviously made up with KD and, you know, they ended up recovering from that. But like TK said, the fact that Jordan Poole is gone and Draymond is the guy you can't move was an epic level of Draymond, like, you know, reconstruction of his whole situation. He went from a guy that everybody thought was on the outs, who thought was done. And keep in mind, this is the same player people thought would be done at 32, right? Like, he wouldn't be valuable. Remember the last 4-year contract he signed, the thinking was he wouldn't be valuable at the end. Like, oh man, when he's 33, that wouldn't be a good contract. And here he is signing another one, and with the team giving up a young talent to keep him. And it's really difficult to question, right? Like, you're looking at this, and you're like, yeah, if you want to win, you need Draymond.
He was like third in defensive player of the year voting or something like that last year. And to be honest, like, if there's a big playoff game tomorrow, is there a defensive player you want more? Or let's extend it further. If you're playing the Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets in game 6 tomorrow, is there somebody else you want on the interior defending the Nuggets than Draymond Green in the league?
Anthony Davis made men.
He got beat.
No question. Yeah, I agree. It's totally agreed. The interesting thing is, I don't know that there was a market for Draymond. I mean, there would have been if more teams were under the cap, but the teams that were under the cap weren't going to
come. Come on. Nah.
I heard there was.
Like, what did Indiana just sign for? What did they decide?
They're just too young. These teams are too young. Again, if it was a contending team that had $27 million under the cap, yes, absolutely. But if Portland, and they're not a contending team, if it was, you know, other teams that had different roster compositions, they would have done it. They would, you know, or would have been very much involved.
From my understanding,
but nobody 27 under, I just don't think was going to do that. They had other options. They had dollars where they could spend in other ways, and so it's a great, you know, Draymond had leverage without really having leverage, but that's why he's who he is, and that's his value. He's just so valuable to this team, to Steph Curry, not just for what he's done in the past, but that's a part of it. But what he means to their defense, what he means to, you know, the who they are, how they play, and he's irreplaceable for them. Like, just think about it. If they had lost Draymond Green, what do they do? Who is playing in that position? It's Jonathan Kuminga, and it's probably not that good. And that's the leverage he had. Not on the market. Maybe Slater, you heard, I just don't think there was a real market for him. But that's okay. He's worth what he's worth. He got it from the Warriors.
The Memphis stuff is real. That had been floated out there. That was there was definitely some sniffing around there. And in other spots, too. And it would have been difficult in a lot of these situations. You're talking probable sign and trades. The Warriors obviously have to be, you know, involved within that. It's tricky, but it's Rich Paul at play. And there was at least enough teams to do two things. Number one, make Draymond pretty early on in this process say, I'm declining the player option. Like, that was signal number one. There was some level of market out there. And number two, like, you know, it spooked the Warriors enough to, like, give them the fourth-year player option. You know, that's not something they would have wanted to get.
Yeah, so. I think he had something. Like, he had something. And, like, again, this is Rich Paul, but man, you look at these, some of these salaries out here, it's like, what? I mean, like, Chicago essentially just paid more money for the 10th seed. It's like, what are they doing? Like, I don't understand some of these moves. I feel like Rich Paul would have got something for him. And I do think the fourth year, because otherwise, what stops Dunleavy from saying, we're starting at 22, and it's 3 years, and if you don't like it, go somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, they don't tend to. They didn't say that's Andre in 17.
Well, Bob Myers didn't say that to Andre. This is Mike Dunleavy. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. What, like, Mike? If
it
anybody,
also took about 5 days too. That's one thing to remember with Iguodala. This was this
question. And Draymond's more important, frankly, right now. You know, than Andre was. I'm just saying, yes, there could have been threat. There could have been threats. There were going to be, you know, all kinds of different devices used, which they should. But the Warriors did get the number down in the first. I think that was more important to them.
Massive. Than anything. That was massive.
Yep. And they went even lower than I thought. I thought they might go to 25, you know, Wiggins' first-year number. But they go below that. There's a lot of little different mileposts there. It's under what Jordan's going to make this year, all these different little things. But they got that fourth year to get it to 100. So Draymond can say, I got 100. And he's been underpaid for most, you know, all of his career, really, really underpaid for all of his career. So he's about right paid now. And that all works. I just don't know. I mean, I just don't believe the sign and trade stuff. I just don't believe it. Like, fine, then go. And that's what I would always say.
I would say this. I believe it would have gotten ugly into like July 7th, July 8th, July 9th. I mean, you know.
The ugliness is what you want to avoid. And he's too important to try to do that. Yes. I agree with all that.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City, with David, a sculptor, and his wife Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful, designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son, Evan, continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and Cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
The other thing I think this does is it doesn't directly set the Klay Thompson market, but it is another... you know, I guess something for the Warriors to point to, and they go, look what Andrew Wiggins took, look what Draymond Green took, Klay Thompson coming off this $43 million this year, as they talked, maybe extension this summer.
So you're saying he killed it, he killed Klay all throughout the match, and now he's killing Klay's match? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, yes, that is what I'm saying. And he certainly was roasting Klay, although that was somewhat deserved. That was a rough performance by Klay Thompson.
It was gutsy for him to take that game and put it on national TV, I'll put it that way. Yes. That's the kind of player you are. And you're going to put it on national TV? Good Lord.
Should have been Andre.
By the way, Travis Kelce was excellent.
He was MVP. My God, was he good. I didn't have no shot at that one. But, Klay, Klay's going to be a lower number than Draymond. It very likely. And unless he has a great year. But that's the market, too. Like, I think the market for Klay as a unrestricted would be lower than was for Draymond. It's just the way ages work. It's just the way this happens. And, you know, would he want to do that? We'll see. I mean, it's just going to, I think they'll play it out the year and then see where everybody is. Or he comes in for a number that they're very happy with. And that's what the next few weeks and months are going to be about for everyone to kind of sift it out. But, yeah, it's kind of the model's there. He's like, you got to take a little bit under or a lot under in Klay's case, or they can play it out a little bit.
Yeah, especially with the second apron stuff, because it does seem like the mega, mega, just max, anybody who's even a fringe-level all-star deals are kind of going by the wayside, potentially, because they've just now become such toxic trade assets. So, yeah, I think, Klay Thompson's probably going to face a more lukewarm market next summer than expected, unless, again, as you said, he has a huge season. But he just made 300 threes, led the NBA in threes, and flamed out a little bit in the playoffs, and imagine if he was like, what if he was a free agent this summer? So, I don't know.
He could just say, hey,
you're paying this team to win a championship, not for a regular season. So, he could be great in a regular season. If he don't show up in the playoffs, then that's the killer right there, especially while Steph is playing well.
Okay, so 9-man rotation at this point is set. We're talking, you know, same starting lineup. You know, Steph, Clay, Wiggins, Draymond, Looney, Chris Paul is the, you know, second unit.
Are you sure? Are you sure Chris Paul ain't starter?
I would be surprised. I'll just say that. That's very early. I'm not saying these conversations have been had, but I would be surprised.
He's gonna start some games though, right? Because Clay's not gonna play every game. Steph's not gonna play every game.
Sure.
They pull Looney out of the starting lineup like they have to every couple weeks, right? That's just what they do. So he's gonna start some games. He's just not gonna be the starting five guy.
They need to suppress Kevon Looney's massive ego by benching him. Just kidding, by the way.
Kevon will say, "This will not stand. I will not allow you to take me out of the starting lineup. Never again."
All right, so I mentioned that starting lineup to everyone else. Chris Paul, Gary Payton II, Moses Moody, Jonathan Kuminga. That's nine right there. Yeah. So in a lot of ways, rotation set. You obviously have two rookies that are coming on. Right now they're trying to get 12, 13, 14, all minimums.
Are you not including Pajimski?
No, he's
he just said two rookies.
Pajimski's 10, oh, okay, and Trace Jackson Davis is 11.
So that's 10 11. Got it, all right.
Ty Jerome has been extended a qualifying offer, so if he accepts that at any point, which he's, you know, he can, he would be 12, and that would be your backup guard. And then, the front office right now is in Los Angeles doing free agent meetings. That's for half the league, as it feels like at this point. And they are chasing Dario Saric. Obviously, that's been put out there. From my understanding, again, as of this hour, we're talking at 5:20 p.m., not a done deal, but that is clearly their target number one. From a minimum perspective, that is the stretch four they want. It makes a lot of sense. We talked about it on the last podcast, but that's just where everything else stands as of right now.
Such a Steve Kerr kind of backup big. Such a Steve Kerr backup big. And, you know, I bet you it's like he's probably told him if it's a minimum, it's across the board. I prefer the Warriors. But if somebody throws him a $6 million salary, then he's going to go there, right? And so maybe you wait it out a little bit. But it feels perfect for them. He would be, you know, your Bielitsa. Probably he's, you know, more talented than Bielitsa. And who knows how he will fit. But it's just a perfect.
By the way, 29 years old.
Yeah, I thought he was older than that. Yeah, he's still pretty young. And he can just do that. You know, he can do the DiVincenzo thing. You do the 1 year. You kind of like just reestablish your value, get some playoff time, and turn around and get the mid-level. You know, it's a perfect setup. He's a perfect age for that. It's coming off some injuries. He's had a nice career so far. Reestablish your value. And the Warriors can showcase you. You know, we've seen that. And so, or they can do the other thing. What did Slater describe the Jamichael Green season as? A ground ball to second base? they can do that. But I think he is a classic Steve. If you just wrote out the guys who they could have gone after and you said one of them is a Steve Kerr guy, I would have said Dario Saric without a question. My guy was Yuta Watanabe, of course, but he's no longer. Now he's perfect. He's got to go where KD just says, "I want that guy. Go get that guy. I want him with me again."
He had KD's assist numbers up there, though. He was not missing them corner threes.
No, he was great with KD. Incredible with KD.
Marcus?
If it's not Saric, I mean, is there another obvious?
Saric is a good pickup, but man, it needs some size. So here's what, following along on Twitter. Do you know who they need to get? Brook Lopez.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's just funny seeing people like, they can get Brook Lopez. So like, you think people are turning down $12 million?
He's 20.
I was going to say, Brook Lopez, we're talking 20 range, probably.
Yeah. And he's worth it.
You think he's getting, you're right. Vucevic got 20. So
Was Brook Lopez second in defensive player of the year last year? I think he might have been second.
He got first place votes. I know that. No, he's a $20 million. In this new era where that $20 million is like the pretty good starting player who plays two ways, he's $20 million player. He might be more than $20 million player.
He's only 20 because he's how old he is. If he was like,
if he was 29, he'd be 30.
Like, Houston would max him, basically.
Yep. That was not.
But you know, he could take the minimum with the Warriors and give him some size.
He could.
My question is, you just got Draymond guarding Jokic for an entire series?
I mean, does Kevon Looney not exist? Like, he's a top 10 defensive center in the league.
Yeah, but we watched it, though. We watched it. I mean, he is. Like, but those dudes are a problem. But so what you're saying is you're basically consigned to having two bigs on the court. And we saw, like,
that was problematic. Look, I mean, Sarge is a big body. He's a 4'5". He's more of a 4, obviously. Yeah, sure. I mean, but, you know, who are we talking about? We're talking about, should they lob City it up and get DeAndre Jordan? Should they get Tristan Thompson, who you floated the other day, which I actually was like, I could see Draymond pushing for that.
Yeah, you know.
I just feel like I gotta believe
Thomas Bryant, where is he?
Thomas Bryant. I gotta believe Landale is, I mean, he was cut loose by Phoenix. I gotta believe somebody's gonna give him more.
Yeah, that's money. I would think would be a good signing if they got Landale.
They need to get Randy Bennett on the phone. Yeah. Tell him to come home. That's their best bet. No,
they're all coming home. They're all coming. Brooke Lopez and Landale. Bring them all home.
Bring them all home. For the minimum, too, by the way.
Yeah,
the minimum.
Exactly.
What do you think about getting another? Can you do better than Ty Jerome with one of those last spots as a third guard?
I would say, I mean, I obviously have thrown out the name Terrence Davis. Sure, if you could somehow convince a Seth Curry. You know, name your guard that's probably going to be above the minimum, sure. But they clearly like Ty Jerome. Steve Kerr clearly trusts Ty Jerome. They could do worse than Ty Jerome, I'll say that. I don't know. Where are you guys at on it?
Yeah, I just think, of this, you know, in games where Chris Paul doesn't play or Steph doesn't play or both, who is Steve Kerr going to play?
Both is the concern.
Yeah. Well,
both is played, and it's possible, right? Like, it's very possible.
Oh, very possible. And he's played Ty Jerome in those kinds of games a lot. And what was
they
the Ray Ritter
record? They also finished with the 6th seed. 14 as well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Steve's just not going to play someone who's erratic or somebody he doesn't understand, you know, he doesn't have a feel for.
Well, Terrence Davis is slightly erratic, I will say
Yeah, just I don't think he's your Warriors point guard. I just don't think he's your Warriors point guard or things would have to change in a dramatic way. And he could throw Ty Jerome out there and feel comfortable about it. So I would just guess it would be Ty Jerome. Just, you know, when we're talking minimums and I don't know what else would be out there that Steve would say, I'm going to play this guy. I can start him.
Somebody threw Austin Rivers in the chat. Now that is one we talked about the other day. I like that.
Yeah, I guess I could see it, but I think that's a little more volatile.
I don't know if he's a put the ball in the hands, run the team type point guard. He seems like more of a
– Although I like him defensively. He's turned himself into a really good defensive player, which I appreciate.
You know who likes Ty Jerome beyond, obviously, Steve Kerr does? And Marcus, I know you know this. Steph Curry likes Ty Jerome. He's like really kind of like –
Big Ty Jerome guy.
I don't know.
Ty Jerome is liked in that locker room. Like, they like him.
Yes, he really is.
Yeah. He's an easygoing guy, you know. And if you sit him for 14 straight games, he's not complaining. He's not rolling his eyes. You know, big guy. So I can get it. I thought you, Slater, I thought you were going to say, you guys who like Mark Bartlestein. I go, yeah, I know Mark Bartlestein.
Well, Mark Bartlestein is a fan.
Yeah. I am very aware of
that. Maybe he's going to the Suns. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, anything else? I mean, I could probably get us out of here. We'll probably come on a little bit later in free agency when the roster is, you know, fully formed.
I'll throw this one thing out. I'll throw this one thing out. We talk about, like, how this sets up for the long term. I have heard that, like, this they're really looking at Draymond to be coached well and hard and successfully by Steve Kerr. Like, that is a focus of this because last year was just so screwed up. And I'm probably tipping off a comic. Maybe you want to start thinking about that Steve Kerr extension so he's not lame duck next season. I think they will. I think that will, you know, he's busy. He's got the World Cup coaching and they're busy. But I just think by the start of next season, Steve Kerr, either quietly or not quietly, will be signed to a 2-year extension. I just think it's natural. And you just don't want those questions to start popping up. And I know Kerr will be pissed off if he has to hear them. Just do it. You know, you got Curry for 3 more years, got Draymond for 4 more years. We'll see with Clay. Steve Kerr should be getting, you know, 2 or 3 year extension just to take that off the table. That this is not a question. This is the team they're keeping together, and he's the coach for this team.
Marcus, any last parting thoughts?
Go get Brooke Lopez, Dunleavy. That's your job.
that would turn Dunleavy's first summer into a pretty big summer.
Yeah, go prove your worth.
No, you missed on Yuta Watanabe. The whole offseason just went down the drain. You did not get Yuta. 44.4 three-point shooter. Done.
All right.
Where's Boogie? Go get Boogie.
He's out there.
He's available. Omari Spellman's available.
Yeah, even better. Willie Cauley-Stein, get them all back.
Available. All right, we will talk when they have a full roster.
Yep.
Bye-bye.